confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
All right, everybody, it's Wednesday night. It's episode 198 of Madhouse Live. I'm talking just over 400 or 500 interviews on this show, and tonight we've got another great show lined up. Man, we got Adam Martin coming from PFC out of Canada. He's also writing articles now for Madhouse. He's going to be dropping in. We're going to talk some MMA with him, just kind of hang out, talk a little bit about what he does in real life. And then the second hour, we're going to drop in from Peninsula Throwdown. It's an event in Washington that Madhouse is a big sponsor of and really trying to help support this event. So we're going to have him on real quick, 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20, to talk about the base of the event. And then Fight Week, we'll have him and maybe a couple fighters on and, you know, really sit down and go over everything. It's a little early because it's about 5.5 weeks out. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. We're going to also be talking about a little bit of fights going down this weekend. Normally is about the time I would bring my partner in. I'm not going to lie to you folks. I'm not 100% sure where he is. You guys know how he is. He's one of those gypsy rovers. He shows up when he wants to show up. That's all right. You guys know I've done this show so many times. I've done it by myself way back in the day. But what we're going to do to kick this show off the right way is I'm going to give a big shout-out to somebody Madhouse loves, has sponsored, and is proud to see that he finally has a home. He signed a good contract down there at Titan FC. DJ Linderman, the protege, I'm super proud of you getting to fight at home for once and not so much on the road overseas. It's going to be nice for the fans here in the States to finally get to come and watch you perform. His first victim is Walt Harris this weekend. Walt is a tough guy, but anybody who knows DJ, man, DJ's only getting better. He's only getting stronger. He's only getting smarter with the fight game. So big shout out to him. Also, a young lady that I love to watch fight, and she's an up-and-comer. And I've got a buddy on the line right now. I might jump over and pull him on in a second to ask him his opinion about this. So be ready. But Rachel Cummins is fighting Cynthia Calvillo down at Fight Club OC this weekend. Cynthia took out Aspen Ladd in a decision at West Coast Fighting Championships for her last amateur fight. Anybody knows Aspen Ladd is a phenomenal young lady coming up, and you'll be seeing her soon. But this fight right here, I think, is going to be a big test for Rachel. even though this is Cynthia's pro debut, she's really good. And I mean, if you watch that fight with Aspen, you saw somebody just like Aspen who's ready for the pro game. So that's going down. Big shout out to my boys over at Rear Naked Smoke. I don't know how many of you guys caught it last night, but they hooked it up for Warrior Pro 5 live MMA on a Tuesday night, man. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I love that site for. They're great sponsors of ours. Speaking of sponsors of ours, big shout out to Big T's Nightclub. The owners are in a band called the High Desert Hooligans, and they are opening up for Black Flag in a couple of weeks, and Pennywise as well. So a big shout out to them guys for ever growing their game. Let's see, what else is going down this weekend? I know we got the Malaysian invasion too. Oh, back it up. Goat Locker. Everybody, you guys go out there to the Goat Locker Boxing Gym, Underground Battle 5, Smoker Fights. These groups down in the Philippines are really, really working closely with Madhouse now. We're going to be a sponsor for their Underground Battle 5. You guys are going to see us not only on the merchandise they're selling, it's going to help fighters in poverty, but it's also going to help put this event on. This and their events are MMA, Muay Thai, boxing events. They're the hybrids down there in the Philippines. And all proceeds that they get go to help fighters in poverty. And this is something that's really important. Most people out there don't think about it. They see the glitz and the glams of these Zuffa zombie, you know, fighters, and they think every one of these guys is driving around in a $600,000 sports car living in a $30 million mansion, which isn't the real case. 95% of fighters out there probably live in poverty. Let's be honest. I know I'm just throwing out an odd number, but I bet. And hold on. I'm going to bring him on because he's always a fan of the show. He listens. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jeff Hoybe, the owner and mastermind behind Clinch Custom Mouthguards, would you say better than 70% of fighters live in poverty?
Oh, yeah, way more. I think you're close to 90.
That's what I think, too. You know, and this is something that, you know, I know you've done because you're working with them as well, and I want to thank you for that publicly. You've sent down mouth guards because the fighters were actually sharing one mouth guard for the blue corner and one mouth guard for the red corner, and they would clean them in between each fight. So you donated, it looked like, about a dozen or so mouth guards for this company and for this group of fighters to help them have fighters to have mouth guards, not just for the events, but to train with and everything else. And, how much do you think today's quote-unquote Zuffa zombie overlooks the fact that these fighters live in poverty or live in lower standards?
I think that they have no idea. They think these guys are all making money and sponsors and stuff. Like, they're just rolling in the dough, and they know they're just busting their ass to make like $20,000 a year if they're doing well and fighting. You know, it's really hard to make a living that, really hard. So people are oblivious. They just think Zuffa means money. It don't mean money. It means a fight. Or it'll be a small
100%.
Amount.
I 100% agree
now. Three times a year for $6,000. Even if you fight three times a year for $12,000, you made $36,000.
Before taxes. Before management, before gym dues, before training costs, before supplements, before gas for the training camp, before daycare for the training camp, before your rent. I mean, you know, dude, these guys are not walking out with $36,000 a year. They're probably a guy who makes $36,000 on three fights. I bet you he don't walk with $21,000 a year.
Oh, yeah, less than that.
Yeah, that's. I'm thinking more like 17, 18 is probably what he walks with, which – that's under poverty.
Oh, yeah. No, it's bad. But it's their dream, so they suffer for their dream.
And that's, you know, that's the difference, you know, with, like, college sports where, you know, they can get, you know, grants and they can get scholarships and things like that to help them train to get better to go to the pros. But there's nothing like that for fighters. And I think that's something that, you know – you know, especially some of the fans listening right now around the world who don't know much about the backside of fighting, would you say an average – because, folks, this guy's been involved in matchmaking at every possible level that you can imagine. So plus all the other accolades you got, mister. Would you say that the average debuter for a pro average is 3-3, 5-5, or 7-7?
5-5 would be a high average.
Okay. Now, folks, we're talking $500 to fight and $500 to win. Now, that's $1,000 for a regional pro that's making his debut. Let's say you're a regional pro along the lines of I was just talking to his manager tonight, Eddie Blackburn. Like Alfonso Gonzalez is fighting Brent Knopp for the title at a very well-known, prestigious organization in your state called Cage Sport. Now, we're not going to get into specifics of their exact numbers because it's none of anybody's business, but I'm saying for a fight of that magnitude with those two names, would you say the total purse for that fight is $3,000, $5,000, or $10,000?
The two combined?
Yes.
Around $5,000.
Okay. So let's just average it.
Both are undefeated.
Yes.
Both are undefeated.
And it's
that
a title fight. And yes. It's a title fight for a well-known organization that has done very well for itself. So that's why I figure $2,500 is what we'll just call it for each fighter. Now, if Zoe got that, and let's say he fights six times in a year, that's not even $15,000, $16,000 a year.
Right, and that's a good payday. This is a good payday. So
yeah, exactly.
Those good paydays make a shitty income.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, that's the thing is, like, I wish more people would take a really good look at supporting their local fighters and events, because I hear, like, especially, like, you know, at the bar, I have to deal with people every day, and, like, the UFC will come on, right? And the guy will be like, oh, man, dude, GSP, I just read an article, he's worth $70 million. Oh, man, fighters make so much money, man. You know, Skip, do you know about Budo fights? I'm like, yeah, I've worked Budo fights. We cover them. We're close friends of them. You know, oh, what do those fighters make, like 15, 20 grand a fight? I'm like, their whole card didn't cost 15, 20 grand. You know, I'm like, dude, you guys are way out there, man. They're like, oh, no, man, you get to the UFC, don't you get like $300,000, $400,000 just to fight? I'm like, no. No, not at all. I don't know where you're getting this from, but yeah, I mean, like, you've made a solid number. A good debuter on the prelims card who's made it off of Facebook on a 5-6 fight win streak coming into the UFC with one or two will get $12,000 if he's a fan
he's
favorite.
Lucky. Yeah.
You know, and that's on the undercard, you know. I mean, and it's going to take him – yeah. Dude, 6-8 right in there is usually what I see, you know.
To win.
It takes these guys a long time to get to that Rousey, Diaz, John Jones kind of money, you know.
Yep.
You know, I still think Gil played it smarter than any fighter in the last 5 years has financially and getting what he wanted out of them. And I wish more fighters would do that at that level, not at a regional level, but at that level. They should definitely, you know, try to work their stock value for what it's worth, you know?
Yep.
Oh,
whatever you can get to pay you.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime now, we should be having Adam join us on the show. Because I told him to call in right around now. But I'm going to just keep talking about this a little bit since we've got it till he calls in. Now let's look at the backside of this. Okay. Jeff, you're a matchmaker. You got Zoe on the card. You got Knopp on the card. There's $5,000 right there. Now we're going to call this a pro-am card. Okay. Just to lower the numbers a little bit. Okay.
Sure.
You got another three pro fighters for a total of $6,000, okay? So now you're into it at 11. Then you got medical costs, rentals, you've got insurance, you've got officials, you've got, you know, licensing, you've got permits. What do you think a show along the lines of the size of a Cage Sport pro-am show that size, what do you think they're delving into in the bank account? $25,000?
No, $15,000.
$15,000? Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. So we're looking at 15 on the high end. You know, they do five shows a year. You know, I mean, if you guys are not out there buying those tickets to that event or whatever event regionally you're supporting, especially if they have pros or pro-am cards, these guys are never going to get more money. You know, you need to fill those seats. You need to buy those sponsor shirts. You need to rock that stuff and not just the Zuffa Zombie Affliction tap out stuff. I'm proud of tap out and what they did for the sport. But you know what? When I can go to Walmart and buy a 3-for-5 deal of tap out shirts, how much do you think of that money is going to, you know, local MMA or going back to local MMA? And I believe, yeah. Let's check this out. Let's see if we got them. Adam, is that you, brother?
Yes, that's me. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing comfortably well. How's the bathtub?
It's pretty relaxing. It's really cooled down. I've been painting basically all evening and all last night, so I have a pretty bad headache right now, unfortunately, but it's helping me cool down for the moment.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're not the first person to be in a bathtub on this show and doing an interview, so just so you know. Lopaki did not or has not made the show yet. I don't know. He could be stuck in traffic. Who knows? Right now we have the owner and the madman behind all of Clinch Custom Mouthguards, Jeff Hoiby, the president and owner. He's dropped in to help me co-host until my normal co-host gets in here. Adam, for the fans listening around the world, especially outside your area, tell them who you are, what your title is. Give us a little bio.
Well, I'm Adam Martin from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, actually. My title is basically the director and public relations. You know, I do a lot of work for Provincial Fighting Championship, provincial mixed martial arts organization that's put on a couple shows recently. And basically, I do a lot of other work as well. I just started writing for MMA Madhouse, which is a great honor as well. I've wrote one piece so far, and I look to release a couple more in the next couple days. And other than that, I just do what I do. You know, I work with a lot of fighters. I work with a management company. I dip into a little bit of everything and help out where I can anytime I can.
Hey, first of all, I got to tell you, it was a great article, a great interview. Apologies. Really dug it. I'm really happy to have you on board as part of the team. And I look forward to, you know, a lot of what you could bring, different views, flavors, and fighters. You know, that's what it's about with us, is exposing the regional and local MMA. If I'm not mistaken, the last fight card Provincial put on, you guys, your co-main was the Healy fight, right, versus Ricci?
That is correct. Ryan Healy versus Alex Ricci.
Yep. So Healy's from our neck of the woods. You know, that was a that was a great card that you had, because you had Dave Hale on it, and I would believe Kyle Nelson and Joe Corbett were on that same card. And then didn't you have a female main event? Or am I wrong?
Yes, that is most correct. We had Randa Marcos versus Lynnell House, House being from Edmonton, Alberta, and Randa being from Windsor, Ontario.
Now,
the main event was it was a really great fight with two great fighters coming into it, and actually the fight was a 5-round fight for the first ever provincial fighting championships title.
And that was the strawweight, or
that was the 115? Yes,
yeah,
the strawweight division.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I you know, see so many events, sometimes your head gets a little blurry with it. Now, for everybody out there, you guys should definitely get out there and check out Provincial Fighting Championships at profc.ca, because it's in Canada, folks, all you bloody Americans. And by the way, I don't know who picked your ring girls, but give them a thumbs up from Skippy.
Definitely will. I'm not even sure who does that. I'm sure I've met her a couple times, but offhand I can't remember the name. I should, though. From what I remember, she's a really cool lady and helps out a lot with a lot of different things behind the scenes.
I love the logo, with the fist for your last event, that fist like punching your logo with the blood squirting out behind it. That was some clean, clean stuff. I loved that. I thought it was great.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that do a lot of great things for the Provincial Fighting Championships. You know, obviously Jamie Champion, the president of the company. There's a lot of people in the background as well. You know, we have a great matchmaker, in my opinion, the best in Canada, in Alex Caparici. And, you know, there's a lot of fighters that we have to offer to the fans that enjoy MMA. And, you know, MMA in Ontario and specifically Canada as a whole has basically embraced the sport as basically, you know, it's up there now. You know, it's not quite at the level that hockey maybe at right now, but I think in the next, you know, longevity, it's going to be, you know, surpassing.
Now, is there anything on the horizon that you can tell us about with PFC?
Specifically, I can't go into great detail. I can tell you right now that we have publicly stated that we're looking to do another event in Ontario for, you know, mid-August, late August time frame. That's the goal right now. We're continuing to work on that to make that happen. And the ball is rolling. You know, in Ontario, it's difficult to make things click all at once sometimes when it comes to organizing these types of things. So you deal with what you have, and you work around it, and you make it work in the end. And hopefully we can do that with this August event or the idea to hold it. And, you know, we definitely have something going on in the fall in October. With that event, actually, we'll be back in London, Ontario at the Budweiser Center. Or Budweiser Arena, sorry. So that's something to look forward to as well. It's going to be a co-promoted event, and it's also going to be a benefit event as well. So that's something to look out for. And the August event that we're looking to do, I can say that the area that we're looking at is the Hamilton, Ontario area, which we've never done before. We've had two events in London, and now we're looking to branch out. So I think it's a great area to, you know, hold events in. There's so many central areas around here, you know, smaller cities that can be linked to Hamilton as well that bring us such great athletes, you know, inside the cage, and that we can, you know, get to showcase off to more fans that like to watch the sport. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think great things are going to be on the way, even more so than what they are right now.
Now, you know, with the way it's growing, obviously there's certain commissions in certain areas, and there's even some issues in some certain areas with how the commission's being set up, if there is one, and who's running all this stuff. I know that you might not have to deal with that as much as some of the other members of your team, but when you guys go outside, you know, your normal area, are you guys looking at the commissions in place as well?
Well, with Ontario, we all have one commission, right? If we go from London, Ontario to Hamilton, Ontario, we still deal with the same people, or whoever handles that, you know, deals with the same person, so to speak. So it's not like we would be going to Quebec, and then, you know, in that scenario, we'd then have to, you know, deal with a different commission. Or if
we're
going to, you know, Manitoba, it would be a different commission if they had one, you know, or if you go to, you know, any other province other than Ontario. But anywhere in Ontario, we'll deal with the Ontario Athletic Commission through anything that we want to do event-wise.
Now, how has that been for you guys as a company? Have they been real easy to work with?
Personally, like you mentioned, I might not be one of those guys that deal with the commission in the sense of, you know, organizing things like that. I leave that up to, you know, there's other people that handle that, you know, sort of thing, so I can't really tell you per se. I know that the events that we have done, that we have been able to put on, have run smooth, and I don't think that there should be any complaints on the commission's behalf on what we presented and what we've done in terms of, you know, our events. So there's no really complaint on my end from here, you know, so... I'd say everything's up and up, especially when they're allowing us to put on events still, you know. So I wouldn't say that there's anything wrong or there's anything that's, you know, holding us back from doing this sort of thing. It's just all lining everything up as well. You know, you have to find a venue. You have to find the right sponsors once you get the venue. You know, you have to deal with the commission and find the right date. And everything interacts, you know. So it's not just one thing that may, you know, slow something like this down here in this province. It could be a collective amount of things. You know, fighters can get injured. Something can come up, there might be another show that they want to go to, you know. So you just can't really pinpoint it on the commission if something doesn't really work out here. But in my opinion, I think we have a great commission that allows us to do basically what we want to do when it comes to, you know, wanting to put on another show for the fans around here.
So, and you're like, so I guess you're more central East Coast Canada, whereas like Alberta's more West Coast, British Columbia area, right?
That is correct, yes. We're basically the smack dab in the middle, you know, of Canada. You know, you've got the East Coast with Quebec and, you know, all the Atlantic provinces, and then Ontario is massive in terms of, you know, how far you can go north before you hit the next province going over to, you know, Manitoba. So, yeah, we're pretty much in the central location of Canada, I'd say.
Now, okay, look, nobody's listening, okay, especially my partner Carl, who lives up in B.C., but be honest, do you guys from Ontario think the people from B.C. are like hillbillies, like we do about people from Kentucky?
Personally, I don't think that. I know some people that live out there, not just from people that have moved from Ontario to be out there, but actually people, you know, have grown up and lived out there and basically come to live here. So, in my general opinion, I don't think that about anybody really in Canada.
Right now, Carl's probably jumping up and down, being like, "Oh, I'm gonna text him." I know he's listening, so I had to give him a hard time. Now, with your, obviously, you know, behind PFC and doing all that, the media side and stuff, you're still a fan of MMA, and you know, like tomorrow night, obviously, I believe in Alberta. Maybe it's in BC. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But I know Cord and Prestige Fighting Championships is tomorrow. And then I believe you guys have some other events up there this weekend that are going off. But do you get to, like, go to many other events? Do you watch as much as you can? Are you reading the blogs and following the news? How do you see Canada and their MMA scene right now?
Personally, I pay attention, you know, obviously to, you know, the big three organizations, and I pay attention not to the organizations necessarily themselves, but the fighters that fight for that organization. So I'll look at a lot of Canadian fighters that, you know, go, say, fight for Bellator. We just had an event here last Friday. You know, I can personally know a lot of the fighters that were, you know, Canadian on that card, being up here in, you know, Rama, Ontario, and, you know, I'll watch World Series of Fighting. You know, there's a lot of good Canadian talent that go over there now that they're picking up and noticing, and then obviously the biggest UFC has, you know, in my opinion, the best Canadian talent signed to the roster, so I'll definitely focus on a lot of those things. When it comes to the more type of bluegrass type of promotions, the smaller promotions in Canada, I don't really pay attention to the stuff out west as much as I'd like to, just because I'm so focused on what I'm doing here, you know, in Ontario. There's so much going on with what I have to do, you know, not only with PFC and the other stuff with other fighters that I work with and the writing and all that, that I don't really have the time to get to focus on as much as I'd like to, you know. And there's, you know, ECCO out east.
Halifax.
Yes.
<That's>
so, you know,
Peter.
I know fighters that go out there and fight, but I'm unavailable to get to catch it all. So, you know, as much as I am a big Canadian MMA fan, I guess I particularly focus on the fighters that, you know, I have the availability to keep an eye on, rather than, you know, go online and do a quick blog read or anything like that, or an update, something like that. Usually if I'm online, I'm doing work myself, so it doesn't really give me the chance. But I do as much as I can, and, you know, I appreciate everything that is being done in here, Ontario specifically, because obviously I'm here and I'm a part of it right now, making things happen, you know, with Provincial Fighting Championships, and, you know, there's another organization doing a show in June, more closer to Sarnia, if not in Sarnia, sorry, and then, you know, even before that, we have May 30th, there's another event going on in Toronto with another organization that, you know, is working on their second event with a really good card with some really good talent from around here. So I try to keep an eye as much as I can, but basically I have my own little circle that I tend to.
Well, I'll tell you, as a fan from this side of the border, you mentioned them. ECC, you know, Peter and them, they're putting on they're bringing some great fighters through that card, man. Those cards over there, I've seen some really good matchups over the last year or so coming through there. And speaking of that whole group, did you watch Cubicle to the Cage when it was on Canadian television?
I did not, actually, unfortunately. I was probably, I don't even know when it was, to be honest.
It was last year. Last year. It's been a while. Yeah, it's been like almost a year since it aired, I believe. It was a great, you know, obviously Boyd Sharp from Canada, you know, walks out of the job and into a cage after training for a year. And it was a whole documentary about him and like 30 other people who did the same thing. Really good stuff, man. Amazing.
I like the organization out there. I haven't really got to know them too much. Like I said, like I keep my circle here in Ontario and focus on stuff that's here. But I do tend to, you know, notice names going out there. Like I said, just unfortunately unable to catch it as much as I would like to. But I couldn't agree more. I think there's a lot of promotions here in Canada that are developing a lot of great talent that, you know, haven't been really sought out yet by these bigger organizations. And I think it's even, you know, for a lot of them, a great thing not to be rushed into something like that. Not saying that they're not ready or not capable of, you know, being successful, but just in the terms of, you know, developing their brand, their style a little bit more, you know, their skills, homing them a little bit more, and especially, you know, in their own country and basically, you know, in their own province for the most part, you know, and just developing that way before you jump into something really big. So I think with ECC and, you know, you have Prestige at West, you have a bunch of other organizations out in BC, you know, there's a Maximum Fighting Championship and, you know, Edmonton, that's been doing great things. Unfortunately, they don't air on Canada, so a lot of Canadians don't get to watch it, but they are on Access TV, so Americans get to surely enjoy their events. But, I think there's a lot of great things coming out of Canada, especially, you know, out east as well, like you were saying, and I just can't wait to see it all blow up even more than it already has.
It's more than just obviously the events itself. It's the fighters and the gyms. So let's talk a little bit about in your area the gyms. What do you see in the growth of them? Are we seeing one or two stand out, five or six stand out? How's that going in your neck of the woods?
Well, it's funny you ask because I've actually just started doing. I'm going to be actually releasing a series on multiple gyms that I'm going to be starting to interview a little bit more of, you know, head coaches and just owners of them and stuff like that to tap into, you know, the history of the gyms and stuff like that and give detail on who goes there and, you know, what they do there and what they're looking to do and stuff like that. So it's funny you ask that specifically, but off the top of my head, I can think of at least five gyms that have, you know, if you're asking me if, you know, these gyms are producing prospects to look out for and developing talent in a very positive way, then, yeah, I can definitely say that there's, you know, five off the top of my head, and there's probably even more that I can't even think of right now, to be honest. There's such, you know, there. If I want to start from southwestern Ontario, I can say Maximum Training Center. You move over to London, you have... You know, you have Adrenaline Training Center, a lot of great names out of there. You come even further east, you know, you come into Hamilton, you have Jocelyn's MMA, you have Burlington with Tapo Burlington, you have, you know, Parabellum, a lot of great teams out in Mississauga and the Toronto area. So, you know, and then there's everything in between that I can't really think of right now that, you know, even smaller gyms, even if they're not specifically, you know, straight up MMA gyms, they're, you know, they're Muay Thai, they're kickboxing, they're BJJ, you know, so they're always developing. And essentially, you know, I think everybody jumps around as well, so I think that helps out with everybody else as well. So you know, I think we have a lot of talent, and I think the gyms and the coaches around this area specifically have a lot of, you know, should be given a lot of credit due to that on top of the fighters that are doing all the work when it comes to training and going out there and actually fighting.
I find it interesting. You mentioned, you know, obviously my passion, which I love, is Muay Thai. But with, you know, the different gyms and even the singleized, you know, art gyms. Are we seeing like tournaments, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments and kickboxing or Muay Thai tournaments in this area as well as MMA?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. You'll see that way more than you will an actual MMA event, you know, going on. there's so many events going on right now. You know, I could probably next weekend, you know, there's an event going on if you go to the western part of Ontario, you know, London, stuff like that. If you go Mississauga area, you know, a little bit more east, maybe an hour east from where I am, there's something going on. You know, even the smaller little towns, like or cities, I should say, like Woodstock, Ontario, you know, I know they hold Muay Thai tournaments every month. You know, there's Amex, which is run by Peckford Promotions out in London, who mixes it up and does some really great stuff out there. If you're not familiar with Amex, it's something you should definitely check out. It's like a modified MMA type of tournament that is presented to amateur fighters that, you know, kind of want to gain that experience before they go into a 5 or a 3 5-minute round fight, you know. So it's really
definitely
cool what we have going on, and there's a lot of stuff going on all the time, and it's great to see the development. And more importantly, you know, if things weren't like this going on, then there wouldn't be any interest. So I think, you know, with everything going on, there's so much interest here with the sport and several different types of martial arts, not just in MMA, but everything else, that they're able to do that type of thing. So the support's huge.
Now, you said Amex? Is that what you called it?
Amex, yes.
Amex. Okay, first of all, Carl, I know Carl's listening, so I want him to get on that ASAP, because that sounds like something that would be really interesting to talk about and even help expose to the fans. So is this more like a Pankration-style fight with, you know, open hands and certain no-strike zones?
To be honest, I'm not 100% familiar with it. I've glanced at the rules are different. I think they're modified to more protect the fighter, in the sense of, you know, your typical MMA fight. I think it's a mix of a couple things, but I can't be honest. Your best bet is to definitely check it out. Everyone, you know, obviously has a Twitter account, check out Peckard Promotions. The guy's tweeting about it a lot, and he always has something coming up each and every month. You know, and I think he's got some other stuff going on as well, just in between, you know, to carry things through and get more involvement and, you know, show his support for the scene as well, which is great out there. London's beautiful for that. You know, that's basically where, it is where Provincial Fighting Championships is based out of and founded out of as well. So I have nothing but great things to say about London.
I'm assuming that's pretty, that, you know, you would hope that you would not hate that place. That would suck if you did, huh? Now,
I used to live there, right? So I went to college there, and then I moved away, and now I'm in Hamilton, obviously. But I like going back every once in a while. It's a lot of fun, and I always have a great time. So, you know, whether it being visiting friends or, you know, going to work or, you know, meeting up with sponsors or doing whatever, you know, it's just all fun. So
now, you know, I'm assuming just from the way you've been talking that cross-training is something that's very acceptable, and at least in your area, province.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. I think a lot of guys from, you know, the Oakville, Toronto area like to come to Hamilton to work on certain techniques with certain people. You know, Jeff Jocelyn, one of the best jiu-jitsu guys around, I can say, in my opinion. You know, and not to mention he's a, you know, an excellent striker as well. So he has a lot to offer in Hamilton. And I think, you know, you go to different gyms outside of Hamilton. So you go to a London Adrenaline. You know, you got a great class of guys out there that have more than enough experience that can, you know, than anyone around, you know, as a whole gym. So, and you learn different things out there. A lot of smaller weight classes are, you know, develop around here as well. I'm not sure why that is, but you don't see too many bigger weight class guys. You know, well-known guy, Elias Theodoro, of course, you know, middleweight, and then you have, you know, Sergey Juskovic, but it's at 205, but then, you know, a lot of smaller guys, and a lot of them like to, you know, they're really tight, and they're a lot of good friends, so I think they like to, you know, share techniques and help each other get better rather than, you know, taking a more independent approach you know, and save that for when it comes to fighting time. But in between, everyone's friendly and everyone gets along and everyone likes to help each other out, get better, which is it's a really good feeling. I can imagine for being, you know, a fighter or a progressing fighter in the province of Ontario when you have that kind of vibe.
Now, in your personal opinion, for the fans listening tonight, can you give us maybe two or three names of some amateur or beginning pros that you think are going to make some big waves in the next couple of years?
I'll throw out some names, depending whether I can't really say too much about the amateur scene as well. Basically, what I focus on is, you know, the professional side of things. Not to say that I don't have any interest in it again, but that's just where I've fallen in my place, and that's what we focus on. So when it comes to Canadian talent and the professional side, you know, I'm going to throw out a name like Kyle Nelson, who's making waves. I know he's not just starting out, but the guy's a really great talent, and I can see him going and doing big things. Another guy out of Fear the Fighter Academy I'd like to mention is Devin Murray, who fought on the last Provincial Fighting Championships card. After having not fought for a long period of time, he came back, and he fought another name that I'd like to mention, and that's one that you mentioned, I believe, earlier, and that's Dave Hale, who's a great talent, I believe, as well. So, you know, a couple names that I like to throw out. Obviously, you have to look at the Windsor scene with Kyle Prepelec, who's, again, not a beginner in or a newcomer to the sport, but definitely someone to look out for. And obviously our number one 115-pound champion at Provincial Fighting Championship, Randall Marcos. You know, Ultimate Fighter tryouts were going on and stuff like that. So there's a lot of interest, you know, with the 115-pound division, no matter what an organization you look at. So I think she's in a really good place right now. And then, you know, there's just so many names right now that I can mention. Adam Estenza out of Burlington area. So another name just to keep your eye out on. I think there's going to be something coming up. And obviously, you know, Alex Ricci. He's got a big fight coming up May 30th in Toronto. I think everybody should check out if they can. If you're in the area, definitely. And if you're not, make sure you keep an eye on him, because he's definitely also a well-known talent and still developing. And I think he's going to turn that corner any time now.
Oh, you know, Ricci's definitely someone to, you know, that is making big waves and will continue to make those waves. I think we have not even close to seeing his best yet.
Right, I agree. And, you know, his gym, I'll give his gym a shout out, M1 Muay Thai. You know, he's doing great things over there and he's focusing on that as well. But when it comes time to fight, the guy's always ready. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no sorrys, or not. There's no excuses, sorry. you know, win, lose, or draw. So definitely an eye that I always like to keep an eye on when he's going to be performing. Someone that I find very entertaining, and you can always learn something watching him fight.
Yeah, kid's a talent, man. You know, it's interesting. You know, me and Carl, you know, we get to talk a lot about, and especially me watching over the few years, the last few years, watching the talent grow up there. It is starting to become more accepted, and you're starting to see more and more younger kids get into the sport that have more talent and are training earlier and earlier in their youth, well-rounded training, not just, you know, karate or not just wrestling, but mixing it all up. In that part of Canada where you live at, the wrestling aspect, which is obviously massive here in America, and in my opinion, they've kind of hurt the sport with massive weight cuts. But up there, how is wrestling perceived? How popular is it? Is it something that's pretty normal in the schools now?
As far as I know, I think it's starting to become, I think it's always been a big scene, a big thing. It just gets overlooked because, you know, we have other sports that tend to thrive, you know, such as hockey and, you know, even if you look at in comparison to, you know, your football scene and our football scene here, you know, it's a joke, in my opinion. You know, your high school stadiums look like our, you know, college or university stadiums, and you keep on going up the ladder. But when it comes to wrestling, I think that's something that's always been around. I think it's very important. If you look at a lot of the fighters that come out of our country, like Canada, a lot of them are wrestling-based and have a really good jiu-jitsu background as well. And, you know, that intertwines now. So I think it's fair to say that it's very much around, and I think it's thriving as well here. It just might not be as loud due to being overshadowed by other things that are taking place, you know, in terms of other sports that are going on. But we do have a lot of great amateur wrestlers that, specifically in Ontario, that are looking to become more of a name in that sport, I think. And I think that are, I think it's something to look out for as well. And like I said, there's, if you look at a lot of the fighters that come out of our area, not just Ontario but Canada, a lot of them are really, really excellent grapplers. So
now, hey, Adam, I'd like to welcome my co-host to the show, Mr. Lopaki. You're on with me and Adam. Jeff's somewhere around here, but I think he's muted up. What's up, Lopaki?
Not much, man. What's going on?
Not much. We're just sitting here. We're talking with Adam. Obviously, you know he's not writing for us, but Provincial Fighting Championships, he takes care of the media side, I guess you would say, and hustles all that and gets all that out for us and other sites like us. But right now we're just kind of talking about Ontario MMA in general at the pro level. Yeah, actually, it's been pretty good, brother. I'm sorry you've missed out, but we still got a few minutes left with him. Yeah, what else? Let's see. We've covered your next event and what you could say about that. We've been talking a little bit about the gems up there. Some names he dropped. Definitely, you fans, pay attention to the names he dropped. Other than that,
Sorry to interrupt you, but I forgot one name that I'd really like to give a shout-out to. And he's a great fighter out of Jocelyn's MMA, and that would be Ryan Dixon. He fights at 170. He's fought for World Series of Fighting Canada. He's fought for Score Fighting Series, if you are familiar with that promotion, that is now no longer. That's another name that I'd like to say, because that guy he's a beast. And, you know, there's some he always takes a tough opponent. He doesn't take any easy way. He always looks for the toughest opponent to prove his point. And I think, you know, his last fight showed that. And I think he's got a lot more to prove. And I think he's going to do that in the very near future. So if you can add that name to the list, definitely keep an eye out for him.
Oh, definitely. And folks, if you guys head over to Provincial Fighting Championships website, profc.ca, you know, they've got a lot of good stuff. You guys even have the Healy fight up there for folks to watch against Ricci. So you guys get over there and check that site out, man. That, once again, it was a good fight. You know, I thought that, you know, definitely getting in there with that gritty veteran like that, you know, I thought he did pretty decent, man.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, Healy, I got to talk to Healy before that event. You know, I did an interview with him and stuff like that. So we talked for a little bit, and then actually after the event, I was able to share a drink with him, you know, and have some more conversation. Really nice guy. Couldn't say anything bad about him. Great fighter as well. And I love that style too, right? I love that grinder style. It's something I always prefer to watch, you know, rather than a quick knockout or a quick submission sometimes. And I really... you know, Alex didn't give up. Ricci didn't quit and kept on pushing forward. So I think credit definitely is given to him as well for that fight. And like you said, I'm glad it's up at the site right now. I think we're waiting to get a little bit more of the footage from that event on there in the next week or so. And I believe there's another fight on there too. I believe Jeffrey Fuchs fight is on there as well.
Yeah,
and that's
George.
The fight. Unfortunately, a tragic answer for result for Fuchs is his leg. Unfortunately, got broken. He was fighting Mr. Jordan there, Bearpaw. And unfortunately, his leg broke during the fight. Brian Jordan, sorry, is the guy that he fought. But as far as I know, Jeffrey Fuchs is all right now and recovering, so all is good.
Now, he broke his leg in a... How did he break his leg? In a submission?
It was a leg kick.
Oh, okay.
Attempt. If I recall correctly, it was a leg kick attempt that got checked. So you can imagine the reaction from the crowd.
The referee didn't see. Oh, okay, I see. So after he broke his leg, the referee didn't know the leg was broken. He curled up and kept taking punches until the referee called it a TKO kind of stoppage.
Exactly, And if you look at the guy,
I just saw it. That's rough.
Not for the faint of heart. I'd say it's almost as bad as the Anderson Silva break. It's pretty gruesome. And then the fact that the referee doesn't actually see it at first. And then if you see his opponent, is that a little boy, Brian Jordan, can connect a punch, and he continues to do so. So kind of felt bad for Jeffrey, and I'm glad to hear that he was okay after the event.
I'm sorry, Adam, man. They showed that replay.
Right.
He stepped on it. Oh, man, he literally loses like 10 inches in height instantly. Oh, my gosh. Wow. We should have started the show with that conversation. Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty intense. I'm not able to right now, but if you want to tweet that out, or tweet out that link just to see what everybody, what you're going on about. Maybe they'll get a better idea.
We're doing it right now. Oh, yeah. Oof. That's pretty nasty, but I like it.
I was sitting right next to the paramedic that ended up, or the two paramedics that ended up looking after him, or getting him on the gurney at least and helping him up. So they came back and had a couple words to say, but they weren't able to say too much, as I was trying to fish for some answers. But respectably, I didn't bug too much.
I tell you what, that's a good call. I'm glad you called out that video.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Lebocki, I'm going to post that up, man. I just tweeted it to you and
I'll
everybody
watch those videos, bro. I saw that shit live, man, like in 2007. I'm good, man. I don't ever want to see it again. They walked that kid past me like 2 feet away, bro, and his leg was like sitting up like when he walked by me. It was, nah, man, I'm all right. I ain't even trying to watch that. trying to watch that. I didn't go to medical school, not because I wasn't smart, because I don't like to see that.
See, I agree. But I still had to watch it, man. Since we're sitting here kind of BSing with you, I know that, you're really focused on the scene in your area, especially the pro scene. So I'm curious, is Madhouse going to see some pro fighter interviews? Are we going to see gym interviews? We're going to see both. What are we going to see from you in the next couple months?
You're going to see a lot. I like to, if you don't really know me that well, I like to do a lot of things all at once. And while still making sure that I have the time to get everything done. So in the meantime, there's projects that I can't even talk about yet that are already, kind of in the works, that I hopefully will be able to have more information on, maybe if I come on again later on time or something like that. But as for the interviews and what you expect from me in the next little while, you're going to see that gym series that I hope to do. I'll pick 1 week in the upcoming future, and, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'll have 5 different interviews, to lay out each day and give each gym their own, their own day for everybody to kind of soak up and read about them. And, like I said, there's a lot of talent around here, and there's a reason for that, because, fighters have the accessibility and they have the right people around them running those places to make it all happen. And, it's very important for me to give them credit as well. And, on top of interviews, you can always count on me to deliver some RFA action or interviews. And Resurrection Fighting Alliance, in case you were wondering. I like to focus on them a lot. They have a big event coming out June 6th, and they're coming back to the state of California, Culver City. Something to look really forward to. The matchmaker there, Scott Kuppers, guy's a genius, puts together fights like no other. It's like Picasso.
Oh, he's been on the show.
In terms of, he's a great guy as well. Go along with him, great. And, you know, he can't say nothing bad about the guy either. And his fight cards, you know, show off his talent very well. And he's very respectable to the sport and the fighters that have, you know, he brings in. So it's great to see. You know, I like to focus on that. And it's great to see the great things coming out of them. And, you know, other than that, other than RFA and the PFC, I focus a lot of, you know, premium MMA management fighters as well. You know, guys like Elias Theodoro, Ryan Dixon, who I mentioned earlier, you know, Adam Asenza, Randall Marcos, Kyle Pavlik. Like, there's so many I can name right now. Dave Hale, you know, there's so much list of talent on that roster alone that I'm nonstop, you know. So you can see a lot of stuff coming out for me about them as well, and to help you get a little more familiar with the talent around here in Canada and specifically in Ontario.
Now, let me ask you, from your side, not only media side, go ahead, Lepaki, you going to jump in? I'll let you.
No, you can go ahead, man. Oh. I'll wait.
Okay, we just had the CEO from Titan FC on the show, what was it, 2 weeks ago, Lepaki, I believe? And last week, yeah, he had mentioned about coming to Canada this year. When you hear things like that about American, you know, pro organizations coming up there, do you think of that as a good thing or a bad thing?
It depends. You know, in terms of a bad thing, you know, you're probably asking in terms of, you know, they're stealing our thunder, they're, you know, or making money off of us, or, you know, something like that. I don't think about things like that. So it's not really a bad thing. I think they're giving, you know, Canadian fans an eye on more talent that is up and coming, you know, especially like a promotion like Titan, and those down really turns it up, I think, when it comes to signing new talent and putting on the fights that people want to see. And, you know, they've always been great, but I think now recently, I think it's fair to say that they've really stepped it up. And, you know, I think it'd be great for an organization for Titan to come up here, depending on where they want to come, you know. Stay out of Ontario.
They're going to Toronto.
No, I'm just joking.
They're going to Toronto.
More than welcome. I got no problem with any U.S. promotion or organization coming up here and doing their thing. You know, it's all about the fighters and the fans when it comes to it in the end, and that's the important thing. So as long as everybody's enjoying it and having a great time, that's all that matters in my opinion. In terms of, you know, if they come up here and, you know, don't want to promote Canadian talent and they bring, say there's six fights on the card, they fly 12, you know, Americans up here, you know, that's all nice and nice in my opinion as well. You know, it's a new eye, like I said, a new look at different talent, but, you know, maybe try to incorporate some guys that are looking for fights around here as well. So, you know, I think that's where that comes into play. If it were to be a bad thing or a negative thing, which I don't see it being, but if it were to be, that's how I would look at it. And, you know, obviously it's a good thing in my opinion if they do use the talent up here as well, because we certainly have a lot to showcase and, you know, incorporate the American talent, get it, you know, everybody the same chance if you come up here and make something happen with it. I don't think you could possibly have a bad show even if they booked all Canadian talent up here. So, you know, that's the only way that I could look at it at being a negative thing. But in terms of a positive, there's a lot of variables that come into play that make it a really great thing. So overall, I think it's great. You know, World Series of Fighting Canada, even though their own, I believe they're their own brand, separate from World Series of Fighting, but still, you know, where World Series of Fighting did something as well not too long ago, and it was great. So, you know, more MMA, the better, for my opinion.
Lepaki, you want to jump in?
Now, I'm just curious about how is the commission doing up there in Ontario?
We kind of touched on this before earlier, but I'll just say that, you know, it takes the commission to make things happen, and we're starting to make things happen. And, you know, without them, we wouldn't be in the position as, you know, Provincial Fighting Championships wouldn't be in the position that they are in now without, you know, that one piece of the puzzle, you know, working in our favor. You know, can people complain about it sometimes? Certainly. Our costs a little bit higher, if not a lot higher than anywhere else in the country to run the show here, more than likely. But when it comes down to it, there's a team effort here. And, you know, between the fighters, the media, I'd like to say, big time, you know, the fighters, the commission, the promotion or organization, you know, without those pieces of the puzzle, nothing would work. So when it comes to the commission, specifically in my opinion, I think they're doing a great job and, you know, allowing us to do what we love to do and to bring the action that we love to bring to the fans of the sport in our area.
I heard some things. Late 2012 and a lot of 2013 that some people were having real difficulty with the Ontario Commission specifically.
It depends what they're having trouble with. You know, if it was something financially, I wouldn't say that's the commission's fault. You know, yeah, prices are a little bit high if that was the case. But, you know, that's the sport you're getting into when you want to hold on an MMA event here in Ontario, right? You know that going into. And if you, you know, it could have been something totally different. But, you know, from my personal experience, which I've had very little of interacting with the Ontario Athletic Commission, you know, it's been nothing but great. And as far as I know, as PFC as a whole, you know, interacting with the Ontario Athletic Commission and working with them, everything's been great.
Well, I mean, I know this. The Ontario Commission is a step above what the Quebec, I don't even know if you can call it a commission. I guess now it's a commission. But, I mean, there was a one point in 2013 where the province of Quebec had, like, canceled all MMA events one weekend, like, on 24 hours notice because they, you know, had no clue as to what was going on there.
Right. Right, I do remember that, actually. And there was a really hectic time, I think. You know, there was organizations that were holding not only amateur events, but pro-am events as well. It's not just straight-out professional events there. And there was a halt, I believe, and now that everything's reorganized, it's back on, and there's a lot of action going on there again. So it's great to see that organized and, you know, things continuing out that way. They have a lot of great talent in that province as well. So they need a place to fight and some fans to fight for.
Oh, yeah, man. There's definitely a lot of talent in that Montreal area, you know.
Well, Adam, I want to thank you so much for kicking back tonight. Also, I want to thank you for your interview and look forward to more, man. You want to give some shout-outs, any information for social media or fighters to find you guys at Provincial? Yeah, run at it, whatever you got.
All right, I'd just like to say thank you to you guys for having me on. I can honestly say this is the first time that I've been a guest during an interview. I'm normally on the opposite spectrum, but it's been a lot of fun, and I love talking about MMA, and thank you very much for this. And next, I'd like to say thanks to Jamie Champion, the president of PFC. Couldn't ask for a better guy to work under, and I just can't wait for, you know, the development of the organization and to see his vision grow for what he wants it to be. And as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be something great. And, you know, everybody else involved with PFC, I'd like to say thank you as well for welcoming me in. I've just started working with them not too long ago. So it's been a real life change for me and keeping me really busy and allowing me to do something that I love to do. Everybody at Premium MMA Management for also giving me the same opportunity. You know, all the fighters that I get to work with, it's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to do more work, and I love the interviews. Everyone's really good with me. I normally joke around and say that I'm a pain in the ass because I'm constantly just bugging and bugging and bugging and bugging, but it's just what I love to do, and I love to do my work, so it's a big thanks to them. And you know, everybody along the way that's helped me get to where I'm at, you know, previous guys that I've written for, you know, just everybody. It's great to be a part of it, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Adam, man, I'll talk, you know, I'll be talking to you quite a bit. And when you guys do get closer to announcing the card and everything, we'll get you back on and go down over the card and talk about the date and all that stuff.
Certainly, most definitely. I'd love to come back on when I get more information on that and when I'm able to, you know, let everybody know what's going on with the next event and stuff like that. I'll let you know first thing, and maybe we can break it on the show and go from there.
Oh, definitely. Hey, man, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Not a problem, man. You too. Have a great evening. Thank you again.
Welcome to the team, man. Welcome.
Thank you very much, man. Glad to be a part of it.
All right, everybody. Let's pay some bills, and we'll be back after a quick commercial break.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Just give me just space. All I need is space. Just give me just space. All I need is space.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
All right, everybody, we're back. It's hour number two, and I believe we have Kurt with us. Are you there, brother?
I'm there, man.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with Lepaki and Skippy.
How's it going, guys?
I'm doing wonderful. Obviously, I know you're a man who's pretty busy with all your fingers in different parts of the pie in the MMA world. For everybody out there, why don't you introduce yourself and tell them who you are and what you're tied to and all that.
All right. Well, my name's Kurt Fichtner. I'm one of the co-owners of Team Evolution Mixed Martial Arts. I'm also the owner of A-Plus Promotions, which puts on the Peninsula Throwdown events and any of the smaller charity shows we've done, like the Fight for Ellie, the one we did last summer. And my wife is the owner of Tacoma's Fight Shop, so I'm loosely affiliated with that. I kind of work as an employee.
Well, we're honored and proud here at MMAMadhouse.com to be working with you and helping support this great event you got coming up, the Peninsula Throwdown 6. By the way, I'll need a fight poster, so save me one, because I have 5 framed in the studio. We need to add 6 to that.
Yeah, that's amazing that you do that too, man. That's really, really an honor.
Well, you know, it's funny. I would say I got that from one of your guys, I believe, after a Cage Quest event out when we were leaving. One of the guys handed it to me and was like, hey, great event coming up. And I was like, oh, sweet. You know, and ended up getting framed and put up in the studio, and it's still there.
That's awesome.
Now,
yeah,
sorry,
man. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're doing this event a little bit differently. It's since the state rule changes, we're kind of going back to old school. We kind of lucked out. Our gym has a parking lot that can seat 4,500 people, so it falls under the training facility show, which is, in my opinion, a little bit nicer, because an O&O Emmy, like, we got a few O&Os on the card for that reason. They don't need to be completely licensed up. They have pretty much the same rule set. They can test the waters before jumping in, but we're not running it like the cheesy training facility shows that a lot of people do. It's not like something we put together overnight. I've been working on it for about 6 months. We got 6 really good title fights locked in right now. I'm going all out with the belts, all out with the trophies and medals, trying to really kind of pass the savings. Since we're not having to pay as much to the state, we're trying to pass it on to the fighters and make their experience a lot better.
Now, that's, you know, for folks, you know, this outdoor show, how does it, is this going to play out? Because, you know, I've been to outdoor shows in different parts of the country. And, you know, some are early in the day, some are late in the evening. Are we going to see this an early show or a late show?
It's going to be a little bit earlier, and it's really only because of the Tacoma noise ordinance. They don't have any, like, assembly laws in the city of Tacoma, but they do have a noise ordinance. And since we're doing it on private property, we can cram as many people as we feel like cramming in there, but it's got to be quiet by 9:30 p.m. or 9 p.m. I don't even know the exact I don't have it in front of me, but it's basically got to be quiet when the sun goes down. So we're starting this one. Doors are opening at 2, and the first fight is going to start at 3. And luckily for us, our building, our warehouse, face west, and it's really tall, and the cage is going to be kind of on the east side of the warehouse. So once 3 o'clock hits, it's pretty much blocking any direct sunlight that would pose a problem for the fighters or the viewing of the audience. So it's actually a pretty good timing. The only thing we're keeping our fingers crossed on is rain. We won't cancel the show, but it'll up our expenses a bit. We'll have to get a circus tent or something a little bit crazier.
That's cool. You know, I like it. I like the fact that, you know, you're doing a gym show outdoor, you know, and you're giving back, you know, like you are with the nicer trophies and the nicer belts. You know, obviously when we get probably fight week, me and Lepaki will have you and a couple fighters on to really get into it. But as of right now, how do you like the matchups that you're seeing that have been locked down?
You know, I'm really surprised that I've gotten this much support. We're getting pretty good matchups, and I mean, I know we're going to keep losing fights here and there, but so far they've been easy to replace. I locked in originally 25 fights. I think I have 24 now. Maybe I'm back up to 25. I don't know. We're going to try to keep it around that number, which seems like a lot, but for daytime show and no intermissions, it'll crank out pretty quick. But every time I've lost a fight so far, I've been able to find a backup. And a lot of guys, they don't post their fight card until week of, and I've always done it a little bit differently ever since the first Peninsula Throwdown. I post the cards as the fights lock, as the fights drop, so people are up to date with every single change. And if it's a guy I'm confident will still be able to be on the card, if they lose their opponent, I cross out the opponent's name and fill it in with question marks. So there's three guys on there right now. Their guys fell off, but I have 90% locked in backups, and once that's locked in, I'll post it back up. So it's been surprisingly easy. Starting early and working on it for as long as I have been has made it just way less stress and a lot easier than past shows.
Now, that's something that we're working with you on, is the promoting of the event and the fighters. Obviously, you guys can go over to MMAMadhouse.com, and under promotions, you can pull up Peninsula Throwdown and find all the press releases, fighter pre-fight interviews, things like that. My question is for you, who's been doing all the social media? Because whoever's been doing it's really been rocking it. I mean, they're really on top of getting it out there constantly, keeping it in the eyes of everybody.
Oh, it's been two people. It's been you guys at MMA Madhouse for reposting it, and the rest has really been me. I do 90% of this. My wife's she's 10% of the work up until day of, and it kind of switches because she generally handles the ticket window, corner passes, and all that. So day of, she'll switch to doing the greater majority of the work. But right now, it's really me. I take my kids out. I got four kids, and I take my kids with me, you know, two to four of them at a time, and we go poster the town. And I got a couple guys from the gym that are kind of helping out with the, you know, hanging post bars in places I can't put my kids. And then the internet is literally all me and whoever's kind enough to reshare whatever I post.
Oh, and by the way, I'll give a big shout out to your boy, Kevin Schumacher, for doing a Madhouse Minute for you guys. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. Kevin's he's a pretty polarizing personality, so I like using him for stuff like that. Either love him or hate him, but he gets noticed, so it works for us.
That is very true.
How much does he like Gatorade bottles?
I don't know. I think he likes them the most when Blackburn throws them at him. I don't know. those guys have had a couple altercations in the past. Kevin, like I said, he's very polarizing. There's a couple people that he really just rubs him the wrong way. I've known the guy for years. He kind of started out at our gym as a kid, and we actually were one of those places that had enough to do with him, and we booted him out, and he kind of floated around, and eventually we all kind of made amends, and he's really shaped up. He's a lot different person than he used to be, and he's been in here training at our gym 3 or 4 days a week consistently, and really his personality's really kind of changed, or he knows when to be quiet at least now.
Now, you know, I'm curious, you know, today we're seeing a lot of the hybrid cards, especially in the state of Washington. Is there a reason you didn't go that route?
What do you mean by hybrid card?
The mixed MMA, Muay Thai, or kickboxing, boxing, you know, where they're kind of bringing in a couple of different forms of combat sports to showcase.
Yeah, I brought in there's a couple. I believe we have one kickboxing and one Muay Thai that's locked in. If I did an all kickboxing card and promoted it as that, we'd get a lot more people. But when you promote it as an MMA card, you're just not giving as many people that want to kickbox. And if we're promoting as an MMA card as well, and there's half the fights on the card are kickboxing or Muay Thai, the audience doesn't seem to enjoy that as well. I mean, it's a certain kind of person likes to see a certain kind of fight.
Damn, that blows my mind, Kurt, because the American fan is like so shallow, like most of them in what they want to watch as far as MMA, that all they want to see is a knockout. They complain about grappling. They complain about clinch work. I just want to see KOs. So then you provide them with an opportunity to see flashy KOs and some really wicked striking, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to put my nose in the air to this because I only watch MMA. And I'm like,
no, you're ridiculous.
You're a nutter moron.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's completely ridiculous. The Like, look at how much the, at least state-wise, I mean, international is a little different, but if you look at, like, United States, look at how much more a professional MMA fighter gets paid than a professional kickboxer. But the MMA fighters that are getting paid the most are the ones that are knocking people out. It's the whole thing's mind-blowing to me, but that's the average American fan base. I can't read it.
None of us can, bro.
Amen. Amen to that. Now, you know, Kurt, you know, with
is the Antonio Fuentes fight still on, Kurt?
It is. It is. I'm kind of actually pretty excited to see that because I've rolled with both those guys. They both came and trained at my gym. Tyler's been wanting to fight AJ for a couple years now, and it's finally happening because their weights, like, AJ probably didn't even know who Tyler was, but Tyler's watched them fight a bunch and wants to fight tough people, and as soon as AJ dropped to 170, he jumped right on it and said he wanted to fight that guy. So it's going to be great. They're both identical build. Tyler's maybe an inch and a half taller, and, I mean, other than that, they're, like, spitting images, similar ground, similar stand-up. Fuentes obviously has a big advantage with experience in that fight, but it should be pretty good. I'm excited to see it. It's a couple of skyscrapers fighting each other.
No, I'm curious. I know you guys have been really successful as a team of fighters. We going to see you guys travel some more this year?
I'm really hoping to. It's going to be more with the pro and the AMI. Kind of had a we're a younger gym, like most people know that. We've been open since 2006, but we didn't even get into MMA until late 2008, early 2009. It was kind of by accident that it happened. So we had a really young team of amateurs that grew and grew and grew over the years, and now most of those amateurs have gone pro, and we're building a brand new pro team and a brand new amateur team. The pros will be traveling a lot. The AMIs, it's really going to depend because most of these guys that are fighting this year are pretty dang green. I'm thinking 2015 is going to be more of the year for travel with the amateurs at least.
Cool. Yeah, you know, it's great to see that, you know, you working it and building it and bringing in these kids. It's important that we have, you know, gyms that are this dedicated and not just about, you know, paying for a belt promotion or charging a kid some ridiculous amount and really not having the credentials to back up what you're saying, you know, so it's...
We're an anomaly, man. Like, we're definitely like a different gym. If you ever look on our website, we keep our price points out there for the public to see, which a lot of gyms don't, and it's usually a red flag that they're going to charge an arm and a leg. Not that that's a good or a bad thing, but we kind of lucked out. We have cheap rent, and we have a huge facility, and we're offering prices that are probably less than half of what we should be charging for people considering the coaching staff and the facility that we offer. But we seem to make it, so we're unless I'm going broke and my kids can't eat, I doubt I'm going to change that formula anytime soon.
Hey, now, Kurt, this is a tricky question. There's 8 weight classes. You're having 6 title fights. What don't you like about middleweights and light heavyweights that you're like, I'm not putting your title on my show this time?
I couldn't find any that matched up. I believe in giving this back. It's really got to be about the fighters, and I've been to some shows in the past, and most of them are no longer existing promotions, thank God, but they did some pretty insane matchups where record and fighting ability and size and nothing matched up right, and I just wasn't able to find the right 205ers. And I wasn't able to find the right 185ers to fit. I got some good names, but they would have just been really one-sided fights. And I, like, what's the point of doing that, especially when you're promoting a good show and you're spending money on really nice custom belts? Like, why just hand a belt to somebody?
Good point.
You can do that, you know, anytime. You can just call somebody in the cage and just be like, here you go, buddy. Nice work.
Hey, are
yeah,
you
pretty
trying
much,
to
I mean,
reference... Lepaki's referencing an event that happened this past weekend, isn't he?
I don't do things like that, Skippy.
He saw that happen on a stream for somebody else's promotion this weekend because he sent me a message. He's like, really? You just walk in the cage and you get a free belt?
They
gave the guy a belt because it's hard to find him a fight and people don't want to show up to fight him. Well, that don't get you a belt, man. I mean, what are you telling people? Oh, man, sorry, buddy. We can't really get you a fight, but here's the title. Your titles don't mean anything now. Your titles mean nothing. It's like handing somebody a pile of garbage.
That's so
yeah,
true.
No, it's, I mean, especially with amateur. I mean, we're doing belts, but I mean, obviously, our belt doesn't mean anything out of the Peninsula Throwdown. It's more of a for amateurs. It's got to be more of you worked hard for this, and yeah, you can't really hand somebody a belt for you know they didn't fight. They didn't work hard for it. I mean, it's terrible. You know, the training's half the battle. You gotta prove it when you get in there and actually showcase your skills. Otherwise, it seems kind of frivolous. It's like who could even be proud of hanging that on their wall?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, and looking at your title fight, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if I would rather watch, if I could only watch one, if I'd rather watch the Burnham Ritz fight or Sean Williams and Buckman.
Yeah, it's, they're all high caliber, amazing athletes. Like, honestly, I don't know how I had the luck putting together the titles that I did. I'd be leaning towards the 125er, the 125 title if there was one to watch because I just have a feeling they're going to want to stand and throw a little bit more. And
oh,
that,
man.
That entertains me. I like a technical ground game, but
Sean Williams off you, man. That little Sean Williams guy is like a spider monkey, bro. He's like a little – he's everywhere.
He is.
And he's just relentless, man. He's just – I mean, that's what's really fun about those 125ers is it's like they got enough of a gas tank for me, you, and Skippy.
Yeah, just constant forward pressure every time Sean Williams fights and – I think it's going to be a good matchup, though. I think that David's unpredictable and scrappy enough too that it's going to be a. It's really like I wouldn't bet money on it. I'd have to watch it and see who's going to win.
Well, and you know that he's going regularly with Burnham, which is you know that's not fun for a 145 or 155 or much less a guy that's fighting at 125.
Yeah, exactly. They both come from really good camps. It's gonna be a really good fight.
Yeah, and now, also Sergio and Dom, the Dom father.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be a good one too because they both want to stand up, and that's really what I want to see. I really like the grapplers, but I love watching guys that just want to stand and trade leather.
I know, but that's really an interesting thing out of Sergio because, you know, you like when I first saw Sergio fight, I was like, oh, he's out of MMA, you know, Marcelo Alonso, here comes a grappler. And he kind of surprised me, and I was like, oh, this guy likes to actually let his hands go, too. So I would
well,
actually,
he's
like,
a, I mean, MMA-BJJ is an affiliation. They're just a Brazilian jiu-jitsu system, and it's a great one at that. But every club that affiliates under MMA-BJJ is a little bit different. And the club that Sergio's out of, they have a Master Sauhin's Srisuk there full-time, which, I mean, he's got an excellent Muay Thai coach, and he's got Brian Jones up there, too. So they got a really dialed-in striking program. Brian Jones.
Who's this
Who?
Brian Jones guy?
Ooh, yeah.
Who's Brian Jones?
Brian, yeah, an old Northwest champion kickboxer, you know, just
really?
Good guy.
How long has he been?
Man, he must
be
really
around.
Old. He must be a really old guy. I've
he must
be
like 60.
No, he's not that old at all. But yeah, you guys know who that guy is. He's he's a good guy, good buddy of mine, and a good coach, man. I mean, I think Sergio's definitely got a good pedigree for striking in that fight.
Speaking of Brian, you know go ahead.
I wonder if Brian Jones and Eddie Blackhead will have a beer bet on that fight.
They should. We might. I don't know. I wasn't going to do one in the past, but we might do a beer garden at this show. It's still kind of up in the air. And if we do, maybe we can get something going with that. I don't know what the state legalities are to seeing a guy take a keg stand in the middle of the cage or something cool.
Eddie may be down for that.
Eddie might just say he lost just so he could do it.
Good possibility.
Now, Kurt, the one guy in the title fights I'm not real familiar with is Mike Savage, man. What did you see in him that you thought he could go up with Danny?
Well, he's a 15-4 background. He should have been pro. His pro fight fell through. He's fought a lot of really tough people at rather small promotions, so not a lot of people have heard of this guy, but he kind of lives up to the name. His name's Mike Savage, and he's got a 15-4 record, and he's fairly dominant dude. He's just he hides the photos, he hides the videos. I had to do a lot of research, but he's from Reckless MMA, which is pretty dang good for a garage-ish style club. And they've got a ton of 145ers. When they gave me their list of people to match, I think they gave me like 9 or 10 145ers alone. So this Mike Savage guy has got a huge plethora of people in his weight class to train with, which, I mean, it's kind of scary. Like, Danny's our guy, and I really believe that Danny can pull off the win from the coach standpoint, but from the promoter standpoint, I had to make it as 50-50 as possible, and it's probably going to be the toughest fight Danny's ever had, and I'm thinking likewise for Mike.
But, you know,
if he gives Danny a, I mean, I haven't seen this guy fight, but I've seen Danny fight before, so, I mean, if you feel comfortable with him getting in there, I'm figuring that's going to be one hell of a scrap.
No, it's gonna be a good fight, man. I'm very, very much looking forward to all the title fights. They're all good in their own way.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you got the Hilltop Sasquatch, or what is Josh calling himself this week?
Say a Hilltop Sasquatch, Josh Bonner. He's independent on this card. He was with us for a while, but he's a busy guy. He doesn't have a lot of time to commit, and we're one of those clubs that you're 4 days a week minimum and you're not fighting. But he's definitely got a lot of experience. He's a pretty tough dude, and I believe it's a rematch. I believe that him and James Robertson fought like a year and a half ago, and I believe Josh won by submission. I don't quote me on it, but so they're going for it. We did a little Brawloween show last October in our little 15.5-foot floor cage in our gym, and Robertson won the heavyweight fight and won the top contender belt, so he's going against Bonner.
Sweet.
I watched Bonner fight. Be quick.
He fought a kickboxer at a, I believe, Cage, might have been
Cage
Quest 3. Yeah, and
that was
a pretty quick fight. Josh isn't especially dialed in anywhere, but he's got a lot of ring time, a lot of experience, and he kind of knows when he's smelling blood, when to go for the kill, and when not to. So, I mean, just that experience alone makes him a pretty exciting fighter. He's one of those guys that he's much better in action than he is in training, and a lot of guys are opposite. They're just killing it in the gym, and they can't perform at all in the cage. And Bonner's kind of the backwards version of that. He gets in there, and he's a lot better than you'd expect him to be.
One way to be, that's the one to pick.
Very true.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Kurt.
So now the event's at 3852 South 66 there in Tacoma, right?
That is correct. It's in the Team Evolution parking lot. So it's just a big giant asphalt jungle in the middle of South Tacoma Way.
You call that the Tacoma Fight Shop parking lot?
It's the same parking lot, yeah. We're all in the same warehouse. We actually share it with it's Tacoma's Fight Shop, Team Evolution MMA, Saber Contractors, and A&L Kitchen and Gadget Supplies.
Ooh, really?
So we got it's just a big old giant warehouse, and we all share some space. It's a nice big parking lot, which is good for the show.
Oh, yeah, and folks, so you know, I'll tell you what, $25, man, is general admission, $35 for second row, $45 for first row. When you guys get out there, man, support some local MMA, pick up a ticket. Why don't you, instead of you guys getting some Zuffa pay-per-view, skip it and buy 4 tickets, you know, buy 2 tickets and go out with a buddy or take your girlfriend or girlfriend's wives, take your husband. You know, get out, have a good time. It's in the middle of the day. You'll be home early. I mean, dude, it's a perfect event. You know, and Kurt, I want to thank you. And like I said, we're going to do another show with you closer to fight time when we can get a couple of the fighters on and everything. Before we wrap up with you, you got any information you want to get out? Any shout-outs, any sponsors, any information for any of the shops, the tickets, anything? Go for it.
Yeah, most definitely. The first thing is I don't want people to get confused. It's a training facility show, but, I mean, we're bringing in nice cage, good sound system, good sound guys, good DJ, good announcer. We're not running it like a backyard brawl or anything like that. It's going to be a very legitimate show and definitely worth the money. It's our third outdoor show. We did a we did a Peninsula Throwdown at the LeMay Car Museum in the old one in Spanaway. And then we did a charity fight last summer in the same parking lot for a little baby girl that had a brain tumor. So it's definitely not our first rodeo, even with outdoor shows. Sponsors definitely made it possible. You guys, MMA Madhouse, for sure, have helped a lot. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards have helped a ton. And then, of course, Tacoma's Fight Shop. That's really, I mean, really helping put the show together. Tacoma Mountain Forge, they're a local welding company out of Spanaway that specializes in martial arts weapons, cage parts, and things that actually work with the industry here. And then EMP, Elite Massage Professionals, and Body Fit. We got two different sports massage companies coming out, different feel. And Listo Fight Gear that so far is only sold in the Tacoma's Fight Shop, but a really amazing brand that a lot of people should check out. And I'm probably forgetting a sponsor. I do every time, and if I forgot them, then thank you, and you're awesome too.
Well, Kurt, I want to thank you once again for coming on, and I look forward to us working together up to the event and even towards the future after that. And, folks, once again, you guys can go over to MMAMadhouse.com. There's the press release up with a basic run at the fight card. Then there's a couple of great pre-fight interviews you guys should definitely check out.
Then our website is www.pacific, like Pacific Ocean, fights, like fisticuffs, so pacificfights.com.
And I'll tell you what, definitely keep, you know, let's keep talking and keep working on getting this together. I look forward to maybe some new Madhouse minutes in the next couple weeks coming from you guys or some of the fighters that are listening tonight that are on the card. Feel free to get a hold of me and or Madhouse, period, and we'll help you get your Madhouse minute up there. And, you know, Kurt, you go have a good night. I know you're a super busy man. You took some time out tonight for us, and I can't thank you enough.
Oh, no, thank you guys for having me on. That's great help. I really hope we can do what this show should do, which is sell out. It's an excellent fight card, and I hope enough people come out and support these fighters.
Amen. Well, we'll let you go. Go relax, wrestle the family, whatever you got little time left in your life before the day is over to do, because I guarantee you work harder than I do. I get up at like 4 in the afternoon. I'm lazy.
Hey, and then my final shout-out, anybody that's in the greater Pierce County, King County, Thurston County area, or even just feels like driving up to Tacoma's Fight Shop, if you mention the Peninsula Throwdown, you get 10% off any purchase. So it's just another little promo we're doing, and the Tacoma's Fight Shop is also selling tickets to the event as well. I advertise it as Team Evolution, but really you got to walk through our gym. You got to go into the Tacoma's Fight Shop to pick up tickets in person if you're coming up this way.
Kurt, now, on a side note.
Sir.
The big bad grandpa from Clinch Custom Mouth Guards is grappling Brad Pohl this weekend. I think they have tag team partners, but they are going to grapple. What do you see happening in this grappling match?
I see it being awesome. I mean, that's really all I can say. Anytime I've seen Brad Pohl do one of those tag team submission grapplings, that guy's hilarious, and he definitely puts on a show. I like the way he does it. He takes out a little bit of the seriousness and makes it a little bit more fun, and he's probably the only guy I've ever seen in a tag team grappling that's made me stop and watch the whole thing. That and when my wife went against a 205-pounder at the fight for Ellie and slammed him a couple times, that was pretty awesome too.
Now, that's
do you
cool.
think that Brad Pohl will tap out Jeff from Clinch Custom Mouth Guard?
I'm yes. going to plead the fifth and just remain silent on that one.
Oh, I'm going to say
oh,
yes.
Kurt,
I'll
come
say
on,
yes
man.
For you.
Come
I'll
on,
say
man.
Yes for you, Kurt. I got your back, Kurt. Yes, we're all saying yes. Right now, the odds have Jeff in Vegas. He's a minus 6,000.
That sounds good, buddy. I'm going to have to let you go. I got to get these kids back home. But thank you much, guys, for having me on, and I'll keep posting information as I get it, and as soon as you want me back on there again, I'll be more than happy.
Talk to you later, brother.
All right, man. Thank you.
Everybody get over to Peninsula Throwdown on Facebook, Tacoma Fight Shop on Facebook. Check them out. Support them. Lapaki, great show tonight, man. Really good show with Adam.
Hey, dude, I'm glad I was here, you know. I'm glad I got made it in. got in, got out, you know. I don't know what the hell was going on there.
Well, let's tell the fans, Lopaki blew a flat on his Ferrari on I-5, and he didn't want to get his suit dirty by changing it, so he waited for the tow company because he thought that was more important than being to the show on time. So that's what you get for driving a Ferrari.
Dude, you know, I did the same thing Friday morning in my 4Runner, too.
Dude,
I had to call roadside service then.
Dude, you're a baller. Triple A, huh? I wonder what it's like
hey,
to be rich in AAA.
You know, I just try to figure out ways to utilize my roadside assistance as often as possible.
Hey, I don't know if you remember them, but they had them down in the South, especially in Texas and I believe Oklahoma. Do you remember Discount Tires?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you used to be able to get a roadside warranty hazard thing on your tires. So what we would do is right before the tread got below the warranty depth, we would take a razor blade and just – cut the side, pull up, you know, say, hey, we just blew out. They'd be like, oh, you're under warranty. They change it for free. So we drive to the next one because there was like 13 of them in Houston, and you just cut the tire about half a block down and pull up and be like, dude, it blew out. Man, we used to be able to, man, for like 6 years, I had new tires every year.
Were you doing like one tire at each place?
Yeah, yeah, because they'd only,
like,
you know.
Like you pull up to like the first one, like you pull up to like the South Cottonwood, Houston, Discount Tire, and you would, like, go in there and you'd be like, front driver, we'll do the front driver this time. So get out and slash the front driver.
Yep.
They fix it. Then you go to, like, over to Grapevine Discount Tires, and you do, like, front passenger. Get the front passenger this time.
Yep.
That is awesome. I totally love that idea. That is most awesome.
Dude, especially in a big city, because you could pull it off because, you know, it's a chain, and they're just going to be like, warranty. They're going to just tell somebody to come grab the tire and change it, and it'd be done. And you don't got, I mean, 30 minutes of your time, big deal. So you spend 2-3 hours of your day driving around getting brand new tires.
Dude, I think it's a phenomenal idea. I'm very proud of you. I'm glad to call you my friend right now.
Yeah, my hands are raised in victory. With that said, everybody, Eagle!
Osprey.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hyped Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.TV, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.